Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, and I'm Jonathan Charney.
And I'm Shane Northrup.
Today we're going to be talking a little bit about operating system, Comcast new data caps, Yahoo Mail, Mac malware, self-driving cars, banning cars, and paralyzed drivers.
It's self-driving chairs.
Is that chairs?
Yeah, self-driving chairs.
I thought they said, I guess I better fix my handwriting.
All right. So the first thing we wanted to talk to you guys about last episode, we talked a little bit about how we might talk about some of our favorite operating systems and some of our first operating systems from back in the day. So please tell me a little bit about the first operating system you ever worked on.
Set the Wayback Machine to early 90s. Let's go back way back to the 80s before some of you were born. It was the Apple IIe Plus was the first computer I ever used. It had dual 5 1/4 slots and two colors, green and black.
It sounds like the Fallout Boy, the Fallout Pit Boy.
I honestly, that was kind of the nostalgia of all of it, was how similar all of it was to the first computer I used. After that, it was varying shades of DOS, Windows 3.1, 3.11, and 95. 98. The worst one, though, was ME.
ME. Which one's that one?
It was Microsoft Windows Millennial Edition.
Oh, yeah. No, I am familiar with that. That's a terrible operating system.
During that time for me, I was really into playing with the registry because you could do a lot of changes to Windows just by messing with the registries. Particularly what I would do in File Explorer, I would add a directory I specifically always save certain things in. So I'd add that to the side, and that thing crashed probably every 30 minutes.
Wow. I remember my parents had a Windows 95, and I didn't do much with it besides play, like, Peter Rabbit and a couple other video games. Like, I played Star Wars Rogue Squadron.
So question, did you ever play Hover?
No, I didn't. I was very limited on the games that I had access to on the computer.
Hover was actually on the 95 disc.
Oh, really?
Yes. Along with two songs.
Every Windows operating system comes with two songs.
No, yeah, but this was actually two videos.
Oh, really?
One was by Weezer. It was the episode where they were in Happy Days. That was the... And the other ones, I swear it was a song called Good Times, Bad Times. All I know is I can never get that song out of my head. It has scarred my childhood.
Wow. I wasn't even aware that those were on there. I really remember playing Rogue Squadron, and I remember a couple other games.
I don't know if they were on future, like the other releases of 95. I know in the first releases they were on it, because I used to play Hover all the time trying to figure out what was the point of this game.
Right.
Figured out the point, by the way.
I also remember the pinball. Like, we didn't have it come stock with it, but we had like a bunch of pinball games that we played on Windows 95.
Yeah, see, that was the pinball game was fun. I remember there was a Epic Games. I remember had a pinball game, and my mom bought it, and so I remember playing a lot of virtual pinball.
Really? Now my mom talks about how she owned a Commodore 64 when she was growing up.
That's awesome.
She might have been in high school or something when she had a Commodore 64. I've always been very fascinated with the Commodore 64, and I've never been able to fire one up.
I've seen them. I swear I saw somewhere where they were remaking it, but no, they're available. I think you might end up having to do a little cleaning first.
Yeah, definitely.
And thankfully it's not like Nintendo's, Power Glove, where nobody ever wants to stick their hand in there?
Yeah.
Actually, so far my favorite, I use two different operating systems, actually three technically, routinely, is I use Mac, the latest version of Mac OS X, I use Windows 10, and I use Ubuntu.
I use Windows 10 a lot. I've been meaning to get into various versions of Linux. I just haven't had the time nor money to get myself a new computer.
I actually have a – I use a virtual computer. I use VMware Player. It's an older version I bought a while ago.
Oh, so kind of like dual booting?
Actually, what it – kind of. What it does is inside the Windows 10 environment, it allows me to have different operating systems. Like in my former life, I used to be a CAD drafter, so I have my old version of CAD that only works on like Windows 7 and lower.
Right.
So I've got a version of I got a version of AutoCAD and a Windows 7 install. That's literally – that's all that's on there. I've got some older hardware that requires drivers that are hard to find, so I use Ubuntu specifically because it doesn't get viruses.
Yeah.
And so there'll be sketchy websites I'll be on just because I need certain firmware. So that's what I use Ubuntu for. So what I do is I do that, scan it with virus scanner I think I found.
Then, I have a friend who uses it to buy his brand of cigarettes.
What?
So essentially, in order to get his brand of cigarettes, because flavored cigarettes are now illegal. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
Yes, you cannot have, unless if it's menthols. Flavored cigarettes
so
are not
legal. You can't get like grape flavored cigarettes?
You can get cigars, but you can't get cigarettes. So my friend has a specific flavor of cigarette that he likes, and he can only get the cheaper, not as good kind because it's banned.
By the way, I do want to caveat, the fruit-flavored cigars as a cigar aficionado are disgusting.
Well, they're made for people who use them for other things.
Oh.
We'll talk about that on a different time.
No, matter of fact, let's just skip that and keep going.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. So what he does is there is a website that he buys his cigarettes from, and it turns out that it's like a lamp company. Like a lamp company. And so it uses PayPal, but because PayPal doesn't let you buy cigarettes, he has to buy a lamp from his other website, and then he'll send him the cigarettes depending on the type of lamp. Like he'll get an email saying, buy this lamp from my site, and I'll send you the cigarettes.
That's an interesting workaround. But why Ubuntu? Does it only work on Ubuntu?
He's worried that there will be viruses involved with the different websites because they're gray market.
That's safe. Honestly, that's one of the reasons I love virtual computers is you can literally, there's a story out there of a guy getting had a virtual install and somebody got into it, a hacker. So the hacker was actually messing around in his virtual computer. And so the guy was messing around with the hacker and eventually all he did was delete that install.
Nice. Interesting.
And that's one of the reasons I love virtual computing. For me, it's perfect for older software. I like Ubuntu because it's one of the reasons I actually like Ubuntu is it's not really heavy on resources.
Right.
I had an old home theater PC I made years ago that I gave to a friend of mine. And because Windows was
Windows, the operating system itself is super expensive for Windows.
It was XP Media Center Edition. And because it was just slow and had issues on that particular machine after a while, I just installed Ubuntu and gave it to him. And the computer worked great for years afterwards.
I found that like if you build your own computer, one of the most expensive parts is just buying the operating system.
It's a little cheaper now. I mean, like one of the things I loved and hate about Windows 7 is there's all those SKUs. Because I'd always buy the ultimate super perfect edition. And it was like $330. But I never had to find ways around things. Now that there's, you know, home and pro, I just always buy the pro.
Right. So what's your favorite operating system? What's your least favorite operating system?
Least favorite was Windows Millennium Edition because it crashed on me constantly. Almost nonstop.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Windows Millennium Edition and I've used it, but I don't think I've ever owned one.
I think right now my favorite would probably be Windows 10 with some caveats. I hate the fact there's a settings panel and a control panel. That drives me nuts.
I hate that, and I hate Cortana.
You know, Cortana
I can't get her to do anything. I just tried playing around with her, and I can't get her to actually respond to any of my voice commands.
I hate the fact it's there, and I can't turn it off. You know, personally, I'm a big fan of modular, I don't know how you say it, like modular operating system.
Right.
I want to be able to uninstall Cortana, because voice features is never something I'm going to use. Right now, with the schedule and the way I do things, I'm home awake at nights and my wife is sleeping. I'm not going to use voice commands. There's no reason to me to.
Well, I know some people who use Cortana for their volume control with home theater systems.
Yeah.
They set up a mic and then they're like, Cortana, volume up 3.
You see, but that's one of the reasons why I have my Pioneer audio-video receiver.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I get it. I mean, I remember when voice commands were, was it 95, when Windows 95 came along, voice commands started being a really big thing. There was a sub game I remember getting as a gift one year. And part of the sub game, you set up a mic and you could say, emergency, dive, dive. And it would dive. You could do different things with the game. And
oh, man, there was a Seaman. Have you ever played Seaman?
No.
It was a game for the Dreamcast where you had to buy a special mic to hook up to your controller. And you'd like have to talk to it and adjust temperatures. And so this frog man thing could grow. It was really weird game, but it also featured voice command in a time where you know that was kind of new.
Like, and the one thing I remember is I have a specific memory of setting up my old computer. This was probably 2018 plus years ago, and Windows Media Player had voice commands back in the day.
Oh, really?
And I remember I used to have, this is when the MP3s were a really big thing, and they're like Audio Galaxy and Napster and all that. And so I've always been a big fan of music. So I would just, the coolest thing about one of them is it had just genres. So I'd download like 4 or 5 files from every different genre I could find to listen to. And so I would be in bed and I'd say, media player, play. Media player, next song. Media player. And it was literally across my room and I was just changing songs. I remember thinking, this is the coolest thing ever.
Cool.
But, you know, I don't know. At the end, it's kind of a gimmick. What about yourself?
I personally hate Windows Vista. I had never had a Windows Vista, but I had a girlfriend that had one. And I remember I went through the transition from XP to Windows 7. I never touched Vista.
Vista sucked because it had a huge requirement. I actually built a computer specifically for Vista because none of the computers I had would actually run it.
Well, their firewall is literally like made of a brick. Like just one brick for the wall instead of like a full wall. Like it's super easy to hack and get viruses for. I hated the operating system. I hated the speed that the computer,
the UAC.
Yeah, it's just
I hated the NAG, because I remember going, "You sure you want to do this? Yes. Are you sure? No. I clicked yes just because I felt like it."
Oh yeah. Well, I could see that not being such an issue as far as like, you know, you want to make sure. I've accidentally installed things I didn't want to install before.
Well, for me, I couldn't tell you the last thing I installed something I didn't want, unless I was trying to remove malware and viruses from other people's computers.
Gotcha. Now, the one that I like the best, I'd have to say, is probably Windows 7.
Yeah, I liked Windows 7 because to me it was kind of like the newer version of XP. It was nice. Yeah. It was simple.
Back to basics.
Yeah, and then we got 10, which is a little bit more complicated.
10's okay. So it looks like we're just about to run over time. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to you guys about some new things Comcast is throwing our way, some Yahoo hacks, and isn't there some malware issues going on with Max?
Yep, looks like a FBI director might have been right.
Stick around to find out more.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back. So ladies and gentlemen who are on Xfinity, also known as Comcast, the no longer Comcastic company. Now everybody's greatest fear is now happening. Comcast is rolling out 1 terabyte data caps for everybody. There were rumors about some people having 250 gigabyte data caps in the past, but now it is for the rolling out for everybody. There's a list of places that are seem to get it on the rollout. First is Alabama, California, Colorado, Florida, Southeast Georgia, Idaho. There's a bunch of other states. I know we're recording right now in Sacramento. I live roughly 40 minutes up here in the foothills, and it's rolling out. What did you use? Because I know you use Comcast.
I use Comcast myself. I just got an email actually about this where it was saying, hey, by the way, we're changing these things. We're not going to have you sign anything, but you can only use 1 terabyte now.
That's not uncommon, though, for them to change it, because part of the service is, say, you know, it may change at any time. Don't have to tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's just annoying when you're under contract and can't quit.
Right.
They put you under contract, which, by the way, you don't actually sign anything, so you're not legally obligated in any way to fulfill this contract. But you're under contract, and you have to use what, like, it's what, how like, a year's worth of service?
I never actually signed up for any contracts or anything. What I actually do is every year I'll call Comcast and say, so what's the latest internet deal? And they'll say, well, if you get this package, you get this plus TV.
I just pay the basic internet.
Yeah, see, right now I'm getting 100 megabits for roughly $70 a month. I was paying $60 before. My biggest problem is I'm a cord cutter, and so Comcast right now is really the only way I can get internet. Matter of fact, AT&T even says where I live right now doesn't exist, and you can't really get over the air where I live because of the distance limitation built into the new digital broadcasting. So for me, I used 564 gigabytes last month.
Well, for me, they told me mine as well. I only use 288, and that's – I do a lot of online gaming and, like, a ton of streaming. There are three people living in my place. So I don't know. I feel like terabyte is actually kind of fair.
See, that kind of surprises me. I mean, because for me, it's just me and my wife, and I do more streaming. I have a Plex server built, so I know a lot of the stuff, like my wife and I watch, is actually on my Plex server. But still, I mean, I'm really surprised. Of course, I agree. A terabyte's pretty fair unless you're watching 4K content. I don't see you going through it pretty fast.
I can't imagine you going through it pretty fast either unless you're downloading a bunch of stuff. Like, most games are what, roughly like 20 gigabytes?
Yeah.
At the most. So.
Just for the game. That's not including DLC or updates.
Right. So I really don't see this being too big of a problem if you're a Comcast user. I don't know. What do you think?
I actually think it's fair. I mean, right now it's fair. I think when 4K becomes more common, I think this is going to be an issue. Now, they do have plans built in for if you do go over your terabyte. They're calling it data usage plans. Won't be cut off. You'll simply have to pay an extra $10 per 50 gigs you go over. To avoid excessive bills, Comcast limits the fee to an extra $200 a month. Alternatively, you can add unlimited data to your plan for an extra $50. So, okay. I mean, it's not that bad. The extra $50 for unlimited data, I think, is kind of chintzy.
Yeah, then basically, if you want unlimited data for Comcast, the least you're going to pay is going to be roughly $100.
Or more.
Right, depending on what your package is. For just the basic package, it would be $100.
Yeah, so, I mean, part of this is it's definitely, they just want money.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, Comcast is a big evil company, and don't even bother trying to call their tech support because their tech support is notorious for not being helpful.
Really?
I actually had a friend growing up in high school who his dad worked for Comcast, refused to get Comcast just because he knew all of the rumors about Comcast were true. Like,
well, we're talking about Comcast. I have a couple of tips for you. This is just from my personal experience. If you do rent a modem, first, I actually recommend buying the modem. But if you're renting a modem for you from them, I recommend is when you cancel service with them, or if you even want to change modems, what you want to do is send it certified mail. And the reason why is because you can actually track to make sure that they're actually getting it, or just drive it to them. The reason why is Comcast is famous for you just sending in the modem and they'll tell you, oh, no, you still have it. And there's no proof that you do. Just kind of a tip. And the other thing is call yearly and see what kind of deals you can get because they do actually work with you and they always have some sort of deal that they can cut.
I always just look online. A lot of their deals are posted online. I don't like to call them. When I went to set up my service, I called them and I was hooked up with someone from a different country, and they barely spoke English. And so
that's weird. I've never actually had that happen. I've always had pretty good service with them online. I mean, not online. I mean, on the phone.
I've heard just countless tales of them being completely unresponsive when there's internet outages or
there's a reporter by the name of Ryan Block. He's from GDGT. He was the founder of Engadget. He's done a bunch of stuff. He recorded the Comcast call when he was trying to cancel it, and the guy was dancing around it. And, you know, it's out there on the web if you want to see kind of Comcast at the worst. But for me personally, I've had really good service with them. Even talking to them, I haven't had too many issues.
I have decent service with them when I don't have to deal with them.
The only thing for me that happens is I have to reboot my router all the time, my modem all the time at night, and I haven't figured out why.
I bought one of those universal ones that can be used with various types of internet providers, Xfinity and AT&T included, so I don't have to worry about if I switch dealing with any of that.
I can't actually switch to AT&T, unfortunately.
Now, in other news, for things that are kind of a problem, it seems that Yahoo may have let the government spy on emails. Yay.
It's not really a shocker. I mean, they let them, didn't they? I mean, but isn't this something that everybody's expecting that...
Well, Yahoo keeps coming up inside the news for more and more frequently for things like this and just going, like, aren't they going, like, bankrupt? They're losing the company.
Yahoo is having a big problem. Pretty much, I guess, to explain it is Microsoft tried to buy them, and basically the guy who founded it kind of put a poison pill in there. Microsoft said no, and so they hired Marissa Meyer to fix it. And ever since she was in there, there's been some massive controversies. Yeah.
Lots of emails have been hacked. Just all kinds of stuff. Like, that was a big deal, I remember, for a while. Like, everyone in my family used Yahoo, and everybody got their emails hacked.
Honestly, there's hacking. There's the fact that they bought Tumblr, and they've never made money off of it. There's the controversy of them firing engineers over 40.
Yeah.
They're in big trouble. It's just a matter of time before they close or they got bought out. And the biggest problem is the fact Microsoft was going to pay a fortune for them. They'll never get as much money as Microsoft wanted.
So Joseph Min has reported that Yahoo has secretly built a software program in 2015 that scanned all of its millions of customers. Incoming emails of U.S. intelligence officials and whatnot. So they're saying that this has actually led the chief security officer to resign because of this.
See, I'm not surprised, honestly. I mean, this is why everybody for a while was saying encrypt your emails. I mean, because there's a third-party way of encrypting emails that pretty much would send the encrypted email, and then on your end, you'd use the same third-party option to unencrypt it.
I've honestly got nothing to hide, but, you know, the company itself says that, and I quote, now that, that they're under investigation, but Yahoo itself has said that Yahoo is a law-abiding company and compiles with the laws of the United States. So now there's kind of this big question of, well, is AT&T going to get wiretapped? How about Facebook, Google, Microsoft? Are they going to be giving away their information? I know at one point AT&T was wiretapped,
so,
right?
With this thought, because we're going to continue to talk about this, we're heading to a break. When we come back, we're going to finish this thought and go into some pretty amazing stories. We'll be
tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be.
Welcome back, and Shay's going to finish his thoughts on the Yahoo problem.
So it's really one of the things that I think is the most interesting about this, because, I mean, email companies giving away email information to the government is nothing new. I mean, AT&T was being wiretapped by the NSA not too long ago.
Well, I mean, see, on that story, you think, oh, wiretap. What happened is they actually, if I remember the story correctly, they had a room. See, NSA had a room inside one of the AT&T backbones or something like that. And so they were literally siphoning traffic from the source, as it were. So they were literally copying it, if I remember the story right.
Now, what's really funny about this is that Yahoo apparently built this backdoor deal into its email system without even telling its security chief. So Alex Stamos has said, the sources said that the program was discovered by Yahoo's security team in May 2015, within weeks of its installation, Min reported. The security team had initially thought hackers broke in. So they thought that they were getting hacked, only to find out that it was, in fact, something Yahoo put in itself and didn't bother to tell them.
So does it say who did this? Was this something from the CEO? Because how do you not tell the security people, who I'm assuming have intimate knowledge of how everything runs? I mean, who is this from the email team?
So Yahoo itself has said that they were collaborating with the U.S. government because the U.S. government asked them. And so they're like, yeah, well, we're law-abiding citizens. Here you go.
Wow. So they didn't even say anything about... Wow. See, so what I'm imagining is somebody on the email team encoded it, maybe a small group within the email team, installed it, put it up, didn't bother telling the security people to just even vet it.
Right.
Wow, that's ballsy.
Right. Well, and it led to the security chief officer resigning. So,
I think at the swan song, you know, the bells are tolling for Yahoo. I mean, if it's tolling for Twitter, it's just going to happen.
The Reaper is coming for Yahoo. It's just slowly.
Now, I wanted to get to this because I thought this was pretty important. We made fun of the FBI director for saying, you need to put tape over your laptop camera. It turns out now there's malware that actually turns on your camera but doesn't turn on that little blue light. So here's what an article I found about it. It says, when you remove the tape to chat with somebody, you are left vulnerable. And as a security researcher would demonstrate today at the VB 2016 conference, a hacker could use the opportunity to record Mac users' activities in essentially an undetectable manner. The blue light, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's Patrick Wardle, Wardle, the director of research at SNAC, and a former NASA and NSA employee, has devised an attack that enables malware to monitor a Mac and only record video sessions when the webcam is in use. It's clever because that is when you expect the little green indicator next to the webcam to be lit up. So pretty much what it does is, if you're using Skype, it's recording the Skype call.
This doesn't surprise me. This is one of the things I always say, you don't need a webcam. You really don't. I don't use a webcam for my internet calls. I just leave my little picture. So yeah. I don't really have to worry.
The only time, and this is a little bit of special use, but I do know people who have been in the military who their spouses live very, you know, far from away from each other because
you're
of work.
On business trips and that sort of thing.
That's the only time, like, I would ever use a webcam. I mean, I have one on my computer right now, but I actually more use it as a microphone more than anything. But yeah, this is honestly, the piggybacking on this is a smart move, actually. And I know I was giving a little bit of alliteration as far as the light not turning on, but this is ingenious.
Right. Yeah, I know. One of the things that I think is actually kind of interesting to think about this, too, I feel like webcam girls are going to be having a run for their money because of this kind of technology and hacking.
See, I don't think it being partially. I'm thinking it's more on the people who are employing their services.
Right.
Kind of like, what was it? There's a company... There was a online dating company that was pretty much for married people to hook up with other people. Ashley Parker, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see this is just going to be something like that. I could see politicians and other famous people, this being released. By the way, it doesn't pay to be rich in some ways, or to be rich and famous, I guess. But I could see this biting somebody in the butt, say, I'm trying to figure out. So say you had a guy running for president, and I'm not talking about any of the current presidential people running for president, so you can get that out of your mind, please. And say he did this, for example. Say he used a webcam girl or something a little nefarious, for example. And this happened, and they recorded it, and it was released. It could potentially end his career or worse.
Yeah, so I guess, in a sense, there can be good things used from this hacking, bad things.
I don't know. I'm still in the gray area. I mean,
Well, it's definitely gray. Now, one of the things that's kind of interesting that's coming out, just to kind of end this all off on kind of a light note.
Yay.
Self-driving chairs are here.
So why do you want a self-driving chair?
So Nissan has a ProPilot chair that will make waiting in line autonomous. So this is actually really funny because this is a car company that's actually invested quite a bit of money and time into self-driving cars themselves. But now they're doing self-driving chairs. So basically what this is it's set up to be where you set up a line of chairs. People sit in the chair. They wait in line. When they get up, it's pressure sensitive. It's pressure sensitive, so the chair knows when you get up, and the chair will move out and go to the back of the line. If you leave the line, the chair will go out and move to the back of the line. Now, there are little stoppers, like little radio stopper signal things that keep it going.
So what's the use case for this? I'm still trying to figure out how this would be handy.
Reservations for restaurants, okay, and that sort of thing.
Because when you
wait
said,
in line at the movies.
Because when you said self-driving cars, chairs, I'm thinking, oh, cool, it's a self-driving wheelchair. You know, something that may be useful. This seems like it's a solution looking for a problem, honestly.
It's very much a use case, like single use case type thing. Like it's very specific. It looks like it looks like you can kind of drive some around yourself if you buy some. There's a video attached, and it shows people driving around in public in the chair.
Wow. See, because here's the only The only thing I could think of is, you know, it's kind of sci-fi-ish is, you know, have these chairs that when you stand up, it moves away, you walk away, you come back, it, you know, goes underneath. But I don't know. I don't really need a chair that can drive itself. Man, I can't even say this right. This is such a weird thing.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, too, because this is a thing that I think only exists in Japan. I don't know if they're going to bring it to the States or not, but Nissan has brought their ProLift tech to Japan, and it's a gift for Japan. So I guess in between the dates of September 27th and December 27th, you'll be able to tweet out hashtag Nissan Pro Pilot Chair to try one out.
Honestly, I don't see it coming to the States. It's the one thing I love about the Japanese is they're not afraid to try things that, at least in the States here, would never work. So I applaud them. I actually wish them luck. I don't see a use case in the States, but more power to them.
Yeah, I don't think Americans are willing to do this sort of thing, mostly because of pride.
I'd be the first person in line. I'm just trying to figure out how I would use this, honestly.
Well, it definitely wouldn't be something used for, you know, the common man. Like, I feel like this is the kind of thing businesses would do, like haircuts or something like that. Like, this might be cool for like a hair salon.
Okay, because here's what because this is the only thing I could think of is, instead of the fact it moves around, what if I could have it just, you know, when you sit down, it does something, the sensitivity or the switch or whatever. How about if I have that connected to my DVD player or my DVR? So when I sit up, it automatically pauses.
Now that would be pretty cool.
See, that's something I would use. It's a little on the lazy side, but I'm down with that. Or maybe when I get up, it, you know, after an hour, it turns everything off, like my TV and my receiver.
Maybe like 30 minutes, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so that what I would use, but I don't really need something to move me around in line or take me to the refrigerator, especially in my house.
And on that note, we are coming to a close. Now, where can they find us, John?
Everywhere. You can find us on GoldenStateMediaConcepts.com. That's GSMCpodcast.com.
They can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and a plethora of other. If it's an app that you can listen to podcasts, you can basically find us there. Now, please let us know what you think about the show. If you don't like it, if you do like it, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook and let us know.
And for Jonathan Charney
and Shane Northrup,
thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.